Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 65, Episode 1 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs and Sochi Meads. It's Monday, January 14th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jackie Potter and the Prisoner of Ask O'Brien. Courtesy of Trite Gang, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Because I'm a gray boy. On a steel horse, I'm Miles, and I want it. Jack or O'Brien.
Wow, thank you to Pablo Maine, at PabloMod36757-3996, for starting that account just to hit us with AKs. So, you know what? Congratulations, and thank you for that, because I love that song, Dead or Alive.
Yeah,
And like I told Jack before, I remixed it with my friend to be the theme song to that show, Hoarding, Buried Alive.
Let's get a rendition
of
that.
Yeah, so go.
Because I'm crazy with all the useless shit I buy. Because I'm hoarding, buried alive.
Yeah. Man, yeah. So there's two for you for half the thought.
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Amy Miller.
Thank you. That was a lot.
Yeah,
it is.
You guys are up today.
We are. Yo, on my ninth cup of coffee.
I just got out of bed.
You did?
Because I'm sick. Not because I'm a piece of crap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, you can be in bed and not be a piece of crap?
I'm telling
Yeah,
what if
that's
you're bedridden?
Okay, yes. That's true. That's true.
Anti-laziness propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, you're resting.
Isn't there like some kind of biologic or evolutionary biology like sort of take on like laziness is about like purely energy conservation or something?
I'm sure.
Like that's how like people who are just like, yo, I can't burn up these calories.
Yeah. Well, and sleep cycles. In general, I am like a natural night person though.
But are you?
Today, I just don't feel good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I always have been. Even as a little kid, I would stay up like the latest in my family.
What would you do? Because like, were you a kid who had a TV in their bedroom?
Yeah, no, not in my bedroom, but then at some point in the mid-80s, I got one of those little, like, combo radio/TV.
Oh, yo, yes, with the black and white screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was a lifesaver.
Oh, so you had that in the room.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying, like, how do you stay up late without TV?
Well, I was also just a reader. Do you know about?
Okay. What is that?
Reader.
I was a bookworm as a kid.
Oh. Bookworm.
And all you needed is a flashlight. Yeah. And you could stay up all night and you're not bothering anybody.
And you could go anywhere with your imagination.
Exactly.
I hear those are coming back, books, with this new generation of
kids. I love them.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at them. I'm bad at them now, but I try so hard, and I like them when I get into it.
All right, Amy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We are talking about The Rock. He is just a few more quotes away from being a Fox News pundit. We're going to talk about that. The rumor circulating that Mueller is putting the finishing touches on The Report.
Ooh.
Some of Trump's more ironclad wall arguments and just where that debate is at the time of this recording. We're going to talk about creepy old John Lasseter going back to work after just 9 days of unemployment. So he got his comeuppance. We're going to talk about all sorts of things today. But first, Amy, we like to ask our guest, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, this is also revealing about my relationship because my boyfriend will do things like this, like text me. Do you guys know who Freddie Rodriguez is? He's an actor. He played like Rico and 6 Feet Under. He's been
in
a bunch
now.
Of stuff. Okay, he's great. My boyfriend texted me, Google Freddie Rodriguez's wife. And that is a sign to me that she is most likely a plus-size lady, which, like, you don't see a lot of actors with. And so I did, which you are doing now. And she is hot, hot, hot.
Oh, look at that.
Wait, which one's Freddie Rodriguez? Oh, yeah.
I know
his face now. Okay, yes.
Yeah. And so that was one of the last things I Googled. But this is, like, you know, it's like a cute little flirty thing, like, hey, Google this. And I'm like, I get it, okay. Other people are chubby chasers, too.
Google his wife. How long have they been together?
I think quite a while.
Yeah, these photos, like, they have all kinds of hairstyles and clothing styles. And I'm like, oh, they've been down.
Unless he changes his facial hair every day, they've been together for a while.
Down the same road, if you're interested in this kind of relationship, look up Pierce Brosnan's wife also.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pierce. What is something you think is underrated?
Something I think that's underrated is stealing.
Okay. Just like ideas from other people?
Oh, no. Definitely not
candy
ideas.
Bars from...
Only goods and services.
Okay.
Wow. Services, even.
No. Just goods
are easier. Yeah,
from corporations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Not.
I'm like, thank you for clarifying. Yes. No, steal
not
from
stealing
faces,
in a way that like will hurt or affect another person or, you know, a person doing a job, but like.
Corporations.
You know, taking stuff from Walmart.
Yeah.
Target self-checkout. I think times are tough, okay? We have 800,000 federal employees not being paid right now.
Right.
I think if any of them want to go into a Target and just take, like, a little eyeliner.
That's true. We talked last week about the government guide for how to survive the shutdown, and not once did they mention just stealing shit.
Take the green Tabasco from Chipotle. You know, take some vinegar from a Five Guys.
Or just look at, like, who the biggest donors are to Trump, and then be like, those companies are open season for stealing.
Right.
Yes.
You can at least directly take from somebody who's giving to Trump. So, look, there you
go. Sure. Yeah. I also need to recognize my privilege in this, as I am a white lady who looks like a teacher, so it's easier for me to get away with. So I don't necessarily encourage it, especially if you live in a very racist place. Anywhere in the United States, I guess.
Right. You live in the U.S.
But, you know, get a white friend to take a couple things for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what an ally would do right
Put
now.
Put a soda box on the bottom of the cart. Oops, I forgot about it.
Or just take six of the sodas out of the box and then put them, like, in your pockets because they're not looking for that shit.
Yeah, or put other shit in the box.
Take two puddings from the thing of six puddings.
No, you do. You get the 24 rack and you take a couple of the things out and you bring tape with you and then you put some steaks inside there.
See?
Oh, 24 beers. No, 6 beers and 9 porterhouses.
Uh-huh. I'm so invisible to retail employees that I have stolen by accident. Like, because I was just holding something that I was thinking about buying, and then I ended up walking out, and I'm like, well, I'm not going back.
Right.
Because you're like, I can't face them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the government is willing to suggest that you, you know, put some of your kids up for adoption or, you know, sell body parts or organs.
Blood plasma.
Right. But they are not willing to suggest that you, you know, shoplift your next meal.
Yes. Any corporation that's been aligned with Trump who has caused this, go steal from them.
Yeah. And that's basically all corporations.
At the end of the day,
we're in a corporatocracy that he is, you know, the beneficiary of and partially causing or helping.
Unless
strive.
There's someone who works in like loss prevention and then you don't want them, it'll want to get make it hot for them.
Right.
And they'll be like, well, what happened there, LP?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Forgiveness.
Oh,
usually
wow.
I do dumb shit like Domino's pizza or whatever. So
no,
like,
that's not dumb. Hold on.
I'm
now.
Just getting bigger today.
Forgiveness.
Well, okay, because so much talk about, and we're going to talk about The Rock and whatever. I love The Rock, but you know he's defending Kevin Hart. Like all this, just like I keep getting asked about Louis because I'm a woman who does comedy, and I'm just like, I don't care if a lot of these dudes get forgiven.
Right. Even if you don't love me anymore.
Even
sorry, I had to finish up. What Miles was saying. Miles was singing a Don Henley song.
And like, why? Because I do the same job for a lot less money. Do I have to like forgive someone? Fuck, I can swear on this, right? I always forget. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Just like it's fine to be like that person is a bad person.
Right. Sure.
And I don't need to spend time thinking about them. But I don't want to, like, contribute quotes to your think piece all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't forgive Louis.
And also in the case of Louis and Kevin Hart, they both seem like they have not done the work that they, in the case of Louis, promised to do. And in the case
exactly.
of Kevin, like, his stand-up routine was all about this bad thing that happened to him without any, like... Just didn't seem like he had any conception of the victims of his, you know, crimes as being actual people.
Well, yeah. And I love Kevin Hart and I will probably continue to consume his comedy and movies.
Right.
So that's on me, but I'm also willing to say that out loud because I'm not a coward.
Kevin Hart was like back and forth. It was just like he didn't want to apologize when people were asking him to apologize.
I think that he's probably truly homophobic, and so he doesn't want to say that he's not.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
right.
I shouldn't watch his comedy, but like realistically, I probably will because he's at the top of our game and success, and it's silly not to watch, you know, the person who's best at the job that you do. But I don't have to forgive what he said.
Right.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Why? I don't even know you.
Yeah.
I don't even know her.
I did follow him once, and that was tricky. But I did very well.
Like around a city, or what do you mean?
Yeah. No, at a comedy club.
Oh. Got it. That was tricky, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It ended up fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you like, you were sort of self-aware of that? You're like, wow, I had to follow that.
Well, I had to follow Tracy Morgan and then Kevin Hart. So it was
Whoa, that's an interesting duo to go after.
Yeah, it was a real setup. So, yeah, you just have to acknowledge the elephant in the room and be like, none of you know who the fuck I am. And then they're like, bah, ha, ha, that's true. And then you can just do your act and it's fine.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
This is from my current life, but people say there's no cure for the common cold, which I have right now. But did you know you can just go to sleep and not wake up?
You can just
for 3 days.
Oh.
And then when you're done, it's pretty much gone.
Right.
That's what I've been working on for the past 3 days.
Just sleeping for 3 days straight.
I mean, there's nothing else you can do.
Like a moody teenager.
Listen, I know people have jobs to go to.
Yeah,
but once again, federal employees, if you have a cold right now,
right.
When you're finished stealing. Yeah.
Or now is a good time to get a cold. Sometimes your body doesn't let you get sick until it's time, till you have some time to relax.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So just go to sleep.
Yeah. Did you use any aids in that? Any NyQuil? Anything like that?
I don't really take cold medicine. I don't know why. I drink a lot of extra water and maybe like take vitamins, but I'm not a cold medicine person. It makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It makes me like jumpy.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
You know, there's like 1% of people that when they take NyQuil, that it wires them. I'm in that.
That
of
happens
course.
To me like 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just like.
For real?
Yeah. It'll just
with
make
Benadryl,
me like, a little
too.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like jacked
weird.
Up.
Weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I'm going to go see if that works. I mean, I did RoboTrip in college, and that was not a good look. But
was that like regular tripping, or was it like
it was terrible?
Right? Yeah, I'd imagine like, that would feel terrible.
Look, I was experimenting.
All right,
we all were.
Yeah, you're like, let's go to Rite Aid, get the big ass discount bottle,
steal it,
see what happens, and then watch the Doors movie with our faces 2 inches away from the screen.
You sound so sad in that story.
It was weird. It's like, yo, like the part where Andy Warhol like has a golden phone for Jim Morrison. He's like, it's God. I was like, whoa. And then I was talking to my friend. I'm like, yo, look, we crept up 2 inches to the screen. Didn't even know. Then played a soccer game the next day.
Wow.
Did really well.
The Tussin.
Hey, man.
Anyway, I don't recommend that.
Tip for you athletes.
Yeah,
tip
exactly.
For all you young athletes out there. All right, let's talk about The Rock, you guys. So, yeah, he came out. He gave an interview to the UK's Daily Star, which if you followed the link to that interview, you came to find out was one of those UK tabloids that is much more lenient towards nudity than our tabloids.
And just any kind of right-wing thinking.
Yes, yeah. That as well. But here are some of the quotes from The Rock. He said, "So many good people fought for freedom and equality." So true. Mm-hmm. "But this generation are looking for a reason to be offended. Uh-oh. If you are not agreeing with them, they are offended. And that is not what so many great men and women fought for. We thankfully now live in a world that has progressed over the last 30 or 40 years." Correct. "People can be who they want, be with who they want, and live how they want. That can only be a good thing. But Generation Snowflake, or whatever you want to call them, not that, are actually putting us backwards." So this kind of confirms or leads me down a path that I was starting to suspect about The Rock when he had his feud with Vin Diesel, who I'm sure is also like a movie star with like a big ego. And so like I'm sure all their beefs on the set of the Fast and the Furious franchise are like stupid and over like really silly stuff. But he was really like macho gym teacher when he would insult Vin Diesel. Right. He'd be like, "We got these candy ass wimps on the set." And like Vin Diesel is like sort of an effeminate dude when you see him like outside of certain roles. He's like a dancer.
He seems
like
very drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like when I worked the Oscars, when he was like for a party, he came through, was like tipped.
But he's like a nerdy dude. He's not like, he really puts on the like,
"Yo, yeah, look, hey, I'm Vin."
Yeah, and for like movies. And then off the set, he's like a dancer who plays D&D. And so I was like, man, is The Rock just like that dude who is, you know, will bully you like an older brother type shit? Like you said, Amy, we're right to suspect that this has something to do with Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. He's defending his homie.
Yeah, they've been in a few movies together.
Yeah. Central Intelligence.
Oh, yes.
The Great.
They're all
Jumanji.
Good.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's a part of me is like, do I read into this like super duper hard? Or
because
then other times he, like in other culture war moments, he does fall on the right side of the argument.
Yeah.
Like when it came to kneeling, he was like, well, clearly they should be kneeling because people are not understanding why they're kneeling. And you think this is a moment for politicians to understand what these people are trying to protest. So I don't know if he's just like old school where he's like, yeah, I'll like make fun of how a gay guy dresses, but I would never hurt him.
I don't know. It's almost this reverse bubble situation where I think when The Rock says that everyone now is freely allowed to like be who they are and live with who they want, he believes that because of like where he lives.
I think that's exactly right.
But it's still not true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, people aren't allowed to just exist without violence and discrimination. So I think grain of salt with everything. It's just like good to remember that he is a professional wrestler turned actor, and he is not where I go for my political hot takes on anything.
But like, if you want to see all four muscles in a quadriceps,
yes,
check out his IG.
Well, I tweeted at him this morning, at The Rock.
Oh, good.
"If I'm such a snowflake, why don't you catch me on your tongue?"
Ooh.
And I have already been threatened several times. Because
really?
That's just what happens when you're a woman and you tweet at any celebrity.
Right, especially The Rock.
What are the threats like?
Oh, I mean, the replies are just, I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you're right that this, and this is an argument you hear a lot. This seemed to be Kevin Hart's entire defense, that this is people getting mad for the sake of getting mad. And it just shows a complete inability or unwillingness to just acknowledge that there are victims, like that,
right.
You know, the Don Lemon video that we mentioned last week is really great, where he talks about, you know, how child abuse towards gay youths is a huge problem, especially in the Black community. And he wasn't even, like, Kevin Hart wasn't even telling jokes about it. He was just saying he would beat his son if he were gay.
He was like, I'll smash a dollhouse on his head or some
right.
shit.
Right. It wasn't a joke. It was just like...
Well, yeah. He also still, he tours with these opener guys called the Plastic Cup Boys.
The Plastic Cup Boys.
All of his openers stay the same, and they're also, like, the team of people that write a lot of his material and, like, follow him around. But they open arena tours, which I've been to, and, like, they all have, like, some shitty Caitlyn Jenner joke or, like, a bunch of homophobic shit.
Right.
So, and you know what's so funny is that he deleted all these old tweets, but just, like, I shouldn't encourage this, but just, like, a cursory search of any of the Plastic Cup Boys with, like, the other F word, they're still out there. And a lot of them are in conversations with Kevin Hart. So it's, like, really weird that they have not scrubbed their Twitter. But yeah, like, that's just the crowd that he runs with, and it sucks, but I think that he is homophobic, so he's not going to say that. He even said, like, I don't want to be an ally, like, that's not my life's vision.
Yeah.
And I don't know that The Rock fully understands that, but, like, these are dumb people.
Right.
Right? Like.
Yeah. And I don't know that he's homophobic in the sense that, like, he wouldn't want to hang out with Ellen DeGeneres.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
He's conveniently homophobic, or he's passively homophobic in the sense that if he meets a new person who is not his, you know, chosen or accepted version of sexuality, he's going to be, like, weird about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's just one of those things, like, it's different, so he doesn't fuck with it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I also think The Rock is just, like, repeating things. I think at this point, like, people... talk to a few other guys that they kind of agree with, and then they just, like, repeat a phrase, which I think is, it happens on both sides.
I think for them, too, like, when you're at that level of celebrity, like, you really do have to watch all your words. And I think them saying that is sort of like them being like, it sucks, because I can't, like, if I were to just say, if I were any motherfucker, no one would give a shit.
Yeah.
But if I say one thing the wrong way, then I have all these problems, and that probably feeds this mentality of, like, well, everyone just wants to be offended.
Yeah, and I think in general we should stop just, like, canonizing everything that every celebrity says and thinking that they're all of a sudden smart because they're rich, because they're not. But I'm really tired of this just, like, villainizing of young people, too, that the difference between fighting for freedom, like, you have to go to war to fight for freedom. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, that seems to be a specific distinction he's drawing where, like, we will physically let you be with whoever you want. Like, and that
in your home away from me.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, like, then what do you think, say, like, telling a joke for people to laugh about beating a person of that sexual persuasion? Like, what do you think that does? Do you think that that is part of a free society? Like, that seems.
I mean, saying it is part of a free society, and obviously as a comedian, I have to, like, support that. But I think that people need to just stop spending money where they don't agree with the person saying something terrible, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm open about saying I will probably still watch Kevin Hart, partially because I'm a comedian, but, like, I don't agree with him. But if I were just a consumer, I would just cut it out of my life.
Yeah.
Right, you don't have to go see the movie. You don't have to pay for a ticket.
Yeah, but people don't protest in that way. No one's been flooding out of the club when Louis shows up. Maybe one or two people.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. People are cowards. That's my quote for the day. Yeah. Everyone's a coward.
At the same time, I do think these people should reserve the right to, you know, point out when they think he's wrong.
I agree.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, totally. It goes both ways. You know, you say some shit like that, then you open yourself up to other people voicing their opinion about what you're saying. And I think it's weird. Even in that quote, he doesn't really, like, explain how Jen Snowflake is ruining shit.
It's completely
which is a little weird.
Detail.
And I don't know. Maybe they just selectively used quotes because they don't really give you a full transcript of the interview. Just, like, these little quotes.
Yeah.
And then their commentary in between, and they're like, yeah, exactly, The Rock. But I think, I hope that his quote isn't that. The sort of outpouring of young people pushing back against, like, racist or homophobic comments from people isn't what he's like, oh, they're fucking it up by calling this shit out.
Yeah, that's and also that's a fight for freedom. That's what
exactly.
I don't understand. And there's nothing to be gained from it either. Like, as someone who's outspoken a lot of the time publicly on the internet about some of these issues, like, there is no reward for it. It's right. only nightmares.
Right, yeah.
So if some, like, 18-year-old kid, whatever, is, like, brave enough to protest or speak up against the shitty things that Kevin Hart said, that's great. I mean, they're fighting for freedoms as much as anyone else.
Yeah, I think there's a general movement among celebrities that where, you know, they're comfortable with gaining power and fame and, you know, wealth from the public, as celebrities always have. But now that there's, like, this social media where people are able to interface with them, that, like, pisses them off. And that's kind of a new thing that, you know, I've heard George Clooney and Brad Pitt, like, talk about how mad they are about, like, people being willing to, you know, it's like the angry tweets thing on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Well, it's like a new thing that they're having to deal with. And I think that ties into this a lot, that people are like, well, who the fuck are you to talk to me?
I'm right, because they're old school, where they, right. that used to not be a thing. That
Well, and yeah. Hollywood is still built to, like, it's still an industry where entire, basically, corporations are formed around famous people to keep them, you know, happy. And so they're not hearing honest feedback on a regular basis. And now that we have a culture where they can just, like, hear from any old asshole, like, who wants to criticize them, then that is puncturing that bubble. And I think that's very uncomfortable for people who are famous.
Sure, but you can't, yeah, you can't just be worshipped. And I think we idolize our celebrities too much in general.
Totally.
But they're very happy to have the other side, which is people exactly. spending billions of dollars to watch their movies.
Yes, I think if people could see how, like, after Kevin Hart sends out an angry tweet about, you know, people treating him unfairly, if they could see what he does immediately after that, which is presumably, like, you know, go lounge in a multi-million-dollar mansion or yeah. bathe in champagne.
He's fine.
Whatever.
Like, I think doesn't he eat, like, lobster backstage at
yeah,
a show or something?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, well, yeah. Living the good life then.
Yeah. We only do that once a week here at the yeah. place, I guess.
See? to be second rate. Mm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And there are rumblings in the political sphere. In my tummy. There are those. There are also rumblings in the world of politics that Robert Mueller might be wrapping up his investigation, which I guess isn't the first time that we've heard that, but
yeah.
They're putting an actual date on it, that it might be mid to late February.
Yeah, because Rod Rosenstein, you know, now, rather than just resigning, he will try and, or he's, they say he's going to stay on until Mueller submits the final report.
Right.
And it seems like by even like early February, he'll start paring down the staff a little bit as like, you know, this section of the investigation wraps up. But yeah, there's a lot going on because around that you have Trump basically beefing up the legal team, like adding 17 lawyers. I think they want to get to 40 lawyers just to deal with the Mueller report. Yeah, right. The Mueller report and like all the Democratic oversight that's about to hit the White House.
I mean, that's probably what they need.
Like, yeah.
People have been saying that Trump is the first president to ever be under-lawyered heading into a situation like this. Like,
yeah.
He just doesn't have the legal representation because he's not a careful guy who thinks carefully about things.
Well, right. And then he also has like people like Rudy Giuliani in his ear. He's like, yeah, good point. Who right. just, I think on Friday, was saying that the White House would like to make corrections to the Mueller report before it's submitted. Like,
yeah.
They're like, yeah, in case anything's wrong, we should be able to correct it. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that is not how it works, my man. They
just
have
to erase a couple things.
Yeah, just redact most of it. How about you get this whole part about the cooperation with Russia? I think this whole thing is overblown. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, because a lot of it has to do with the obstruction aspects. And there's plenty of evidence to show where the president has intervened in inappropriate ways in his own self-interest. But I think some people are saying like the strategy that they might try to use, like in one way to keep the Mueller report from getting to Congress, is like evoking this really bizarre, like retroactive executive privilege where Robert Mueller is technically working for the executive branch. So he can't share his communications with people like Reince Priebus and other people in the executive with Congress. It's really like, it's really harebrained. I'm not like a legal person in any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but from everything I read about it, it just seems like, yeah, that you can try that.
Like,
but
Nixon tried that.
Yeah, Nixon tried it. Yeah, Obama tried it too with the Fast and Furious stuff. So, yeah.
The two great disgraced presidents, Obama and Nixon.
What's the second mention of Vin Diesel today?
Yeah. It nonstop. They do call it the Vin Diesel clause.
Yeah.
So who is Mueller writing his report for? Like, who, as he writes this, who is his intended audience? Isn't it Congress? Isn't he?
Well, it's technically, I guess, the DOJ.
Okay.
But then it would also go to Congress.
Right. But he's writing about the executive branch, so he can't just be writing to the executive branch their own behavior.
And Congress is going to want to see that because in their oversight role, they'll be like, yes, we need to know what happened.
Right. I mean, that seems completely like baked into the entire structure of this is that Congress is going to
which is
to
why
see
it's like
right.
wild to be like, well,
I think we should only be the only ones who get
and
to
also,
see.
And also, let's be able to correct it.
Yes.
Like, come on. So, I mean, I think the storm clouds are gathering, and I think as things get closer to that moment, and also Michael Cohen is about to go testify in front of Congress in February, I think, in front of everybody.
In front of cameras, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be, like, one of those private
ones. No, it'll be an open hearing.
It'll be open.
But he is saying, like, that he won't be able to doesn't want to talk about Russia stuff.
Right.
Only Stormy Daniels stuff.
Nah.
Yeah, which is like, okay. And like one of the reasons why he doesn't want to talk about Russia is to divulge any sort of classified information, like dealing with the ongoing investigation.
Cohen doesn't want to talk
about it? But okay. A lot of the Democrats are like, well, then we need to have a closed hearing where you can. Mm-hmm. That isn't going to be made publicly available because we need answers because, motherfucker, last time you were here, you lied.
Right.
So let's get to the bottom of that part.
I mean, one of that part. One of the details from the Slow Burn podcast from season one that was about Watergate was that I hadn't fully appreciated is that people were basically the same way our public is. They were like kind of tired of the Watergate investigation and, you know, just they weren't all that interested in it. And then they started having public hearings where different people of interest like went before Congress in front of TV cameras. And that is where public sentiment started to turn. So it is somewhat significant that we're getting Cohen to talk about this shit.
Right. And like, in a way that he's like, I'm being truthful right now.
Right. And answer questions that aren't from like a both sides-ing mainstream media, but from like Democrats who are going to ask the questions that I think people who are suspicious of the president want to have answered. So. And Super Producer Nick Stumpf was just pointing out that there's some talk that this is the opening shot of sort of the Democrats' strategy to kind of get the court of public opinion behind them, like because you need to have the court of public opinion on your side for any sort of impeachment. And so it'll be, you know, in addition to specifically answering questions about the Stormy Daniels affair and the most powerful campaign contribution in the history of presidential politics,
right?
That was an illegal contribution. Like, there will also be incidental details, like, so how many women were paid off?
And what did the Trump Foundation do exactly?
Right. And, you know, things that are going to just kind of paint a fuller picture of who the president is, because Michael Cohen has been his body guy, his bag man for
10 years,
a while, and he's done the dirt for him. So I think it could be fairly significant when Cohen gets up in front of people.
And is he trying to prevent the public hearing? I'm surprised that it would be allowed.
No, he's not trying to prevent it. I think he wants to, I think, as a sort of like, some people are like, maybe this is his sort of like airing of grievances right before he has to do his little prison sentence.
Do you mean Trump?
I mean Trump, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure there will be all manners of distraction and.
Well, they're just going to hit him with the. This guy has no credibility. This guy's a lying scumbag who represented the president for 10 years.
Right. It works really well.
Yeah. Well, Giuliani, I think when he even gave that quote about it, he's like, yeah, I think we should be able to edit the Mueller report. When they asked about like Michael Cohen, he was like, so what? He's like, that's a big deal. Like it ain't going to be anything. So,
and I mean, if they treat it like that, that's probably bad for them because they're underestimating how, you know, significant it's going to be for people to be able. Like, I think there's going to be a huge TV audience for him getting up there and answering questions.
Yeah,
just what went down.
We got to come up with a drinking game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's work on. Do you think he'll? I'm trying to think. Just sort of like what the little points would be. Yeah. How many times? Every time Russia is mentioned. If
A shot for every time someone says collusion. In-kind payments. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Hush money. The word hush money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of things that are incredibly effective, the president, as of this recording, he hasn't yet built the wall.
No.
But there's still.
It'll take a very long time to do.
The government is still shut down. There's
he went
still
down there.
A wall argument. He went down there and.
The crisis firsthand.
That's right. And sat down with some very real Border Patrol and DHS and cowboy people.
There was like a rancher, who looked like a bad guy in like a Three Ninjas type movie.
Oh, yeah. There's all these dudes that are just volunteering.
Yeah. And it was a great, nice little spread. They had like a huge, like 50 caliber rifle there with some bricks of cocaine or heroin and cash and other shit.
But no Adderall. He keeps that.
Well, that's legal.
Like
that's
a
legal.
Coen Brothers movie just happening.
Yeah. But I mean, it was all just like, Mr. President, you're the best. Thank you so much for doing everything you're doing. And then Trump making his foolproof argument about the effectiveness of walls, right?
Yeah, I mean, he sort of, this to me, it kind of shook me to my core because it was one of the first wall arguments that I had heard that really tracked logically.
Yeah.
And I feel will sway people when you actually do hear sort of his logic when talking about the effectiveness of a wall.
They say a wall is medieval. Well, so is a wheel. A wheel is older than a wall. And I looked, and every single car out there, even the really expensive ones that the Secret Service uses, and believe me, they are expensive. I said, do they all have wheels? Yes. Oh, I thought it was medieval. The wheel is older than the wall. You know that? And there are some things that work. You know what? A wheel works, and a wall works.
Uh-huh.
Yo,
first of all, is a wheel older than a wall?
No.
I don't think that's true.
Motherfucker.
It doesn't feel true.
No. I don't think there's any possible way that
most
that's
people
true.
Agree that the wheel came to life around 3500 BC.
Uh-huh.
I think the inside of a cave has walls.
Uh-oh. Hey, come on, don't blow that argument up now. He has something going here with this fucking. They say it's medieval.
Right.
And all those cars have wheels, so therefore, ipso facto, the wall is effective. I mean, that's kind of where he's at right now with this pitch because a lot of people are like, they're getting more and more tired of this shit.
Yeah.
And it's dragging on and dragging on. Like, these are the sort of arguments he has now.
But people know logically that walls don't work for, like, a lot of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
For anyone
We've
who's
all
hot
seen
defense.
Skunks come over into our yard.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I am not comparing immigrants to skunks. I just want to put that on the record in case someone takes it out of context.
Like Donald Trump Jr. said when he was like, it's like a zoo to keep the animals out.
Uh-huh.
Right, like, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, I've hopped fences in my life.
Yes.
People can get over walls. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, the other, another strategy I'm seeing from the right is them basically implying that Democrats and people who are opposed to Trump's close to $6 billion wall just are saying that walls don't work for anything and can't work anywhere and like aren't willing to acknowledge that there are some places where a border wall is appropriate. And I don't think anyone's saying that. Like the Democratic Congress was willing to approve like over $1 billion of funding to, you know, add the security enhancements that people who work on the border are asking for.
Right.
It's just about the cost.
Right. It's just they're in an argument with somebody who is, you know, completely full of shit and is trying to argue for a thing that is only rhetorically effective.
Right.
Like his sea to shining sea wall. You know, when you ask people who work on the border, they're like, well, that doesn't really make sense if you know what the border looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, like, it's the need for the wall, like, polls, like, terribly, like, the polling for it, for people who live within 300 miles of, like, the border, like, nah, don't need it.
It's not.
It just feels like, I mean, it's an obsession. It feels like a midlife crisis obsession, like a husband being like, it has to be a Porsche.
Right.
It's like, you can get a Miata, okay?
Right. No, they're going to laugh at me. I told everybody I would pull up in a fucking limousine.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the other thing. You know, the cost aspect has been a huge thing. And this whole time, he's always been like, Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yes.
I told y'all.
And it's just flat out denying that he ever said that.
Right.
But it's like, there's video of it.
He's been saying this in every which way. So he said, they're going to cut a check. We're going to make up for it. I mean, look, so
apparently Fox News even finally called him on it and showed footage.
Right.
Which is
so
incredible.
Exactly. Because they're like, wait, we were all like getting off to the idea that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. That's why people were so into it. Like, yeah, they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
But listen to him just walk this back because it's just classic dude fucking just eating shit.
When I say Mexico's going to pay for the wall, that's what I said. Mexico's going to pay. I didn't say they're going to write me a check for $20 billion or $10
billion. He did.
No one's going to write a check. I said they're going to pay for the wall. And if Congress approves this incredible trade bill that we made with Mexico and Canada, by the way, but with Mexico in this case, they're paying for the wall many, many times over.
Okay.
So let's, again, for anybody, all the Zeit gang listening out there and people go, well, they're going to pay for it through the trade deficit. Here, again, let me just refresh y'all with how that works. Because trade deficits are not a function of an imbalance between governments, Okay. It is about the discrepancy between the value of goods and services purchased from or sold to either country. So no matter how you balance the trade deficit, that does not make money that the government goes, oh shit, man, look at all this money we got now
right.
for the wall.
Yes.
It paid for itself.
No, it goes to the company.
The consumer, if anything, is the one paying for it.
So it's still coming out of your pocket via taxes.
Yeah. Right. So again, like, and that's what's really mind-blowing too, is like, by any stretch of the imagination, this doesn't actually function as in a way to create revenue for the wall.
Right.
But anyway, you know, that's where we're at. So, you know, I guess he'll, maybe he'll like scoop into the emergency relief funds.
Right.
For disasters and stuff to build the wall.
And I mean, if he declares an emergency, there's a chance that by the time you're listening to this, the wall's already been built because, I mean, you know, it's an emergency.
And
so
all the drugs.
Got to get that thing up.
All the drugs will stop pouring in.
Right.
Depending what he makes it out of in California, it could just burn right down.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Yeah, well, but then will it be no FEMA money if you don't get your act together, start raking those motherfucking leaves. But the other thing is, too, is CNBC was saying that if the shutdown goes for another 2 weeks, the cost to the U.S. economy would exceed the price of building the wall.
Hmm.
So, like, if we hit this thing for two more weeks, the economy will take a $6 billion hit. And he's asking for 5.7.
Damn.
So, like, at some point, like, even by that math, you should be like, yo, this is a terrible fucking idea because I already just fucked the economy by $6 billion and now I'm asking for another six. But again, that doesn't matter because Ann Coulter told him this will be the end of his presidency.
Right. Yeah. It's all rhetorical and just, you know, arguments rattling around in his brain.
It's a pissing contest.
With real world costs.
Yes.
And that's the thing that is so, like, baffling, you know, like putting people out of work is not a negotiating tool.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's, but whatever.
Yeah. You're holding people for hostage that have nothing to do with it. Just,
right.
It's just like pure, well, these people are in pain and we're going to say it's your fault.
Well, right. And then also, and I think in his mind, he thinks that people who work for the government are all partisans or something. Where
right.
It's like, well, most of them are probably Democrats anyway. So fuck
yeah.
them. When a lot of people are like, yo, I'm an air traffic controller who are suing right now because they're like, this is a danger to air travel. Or the FDA not being able to inspect food and things like that. It's more than just people being like, anyway, whatever.
Well, if you're a government employee that voted for Trump, hello. Here's
hey
what
guys.
You get.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and some good news for creepy dudes in Hollywood. John Lasseter is back, baby!
Finally.
I mean, 9 days. We were all worried.
He was only fucking out of the job for 9 days?
Yeah, so Pixar put him on a year-long sabbatical for him to work on himself, and then his contract was up at the end of the year, and they chose not to renew it, so good on you, Pixar. And at that point, he started looking around for jobs. Warner Brothers allegedly was not comfortable for bringing John Lasseter on. And it took him 9 days to get work from the company. What's the company
called? Skydance.
Skydance.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is, you know, they're behind the recent Star Trek and the Mission Impossible movies. You know. Good movies. They make good movies, and they're trying to launch a animation division. John Lasseter is the dude who was like one of the main guys at the beginning at Pixar. We were actually looking at the worst Oscars ever last week, the 1988 Oscars that didn't have a host, and John Lasseter actually won a Oscar that year for animated short.
Really?
So he's been in the game for a long time.
For the lamp.
I don't know if it was the lamp at that point, but it was...
Was it a computer animation thing?
I think so, yeah. I think it was... I didn't actually look at that, but he was at Disney, I think, before, and then Disney basically let him go. He went and started Pixar, and then Disney bought his company for...
Has Skydance said anything about hiring him? They're like, look, bro, he's...
They have. They said, we take this decision very seriously. And we
the fuck does that mean?
And contractually, he will have to pay for any damage, any lawsuits that are go against him. So they've protected themselves legally and financially. So I don't know what else. What else do you want from this?
Financial damage.
Jesus Christ.
Something I hadn't realized, because I feel like when this story hit, it was amid like all of the Benghazi sex crime shit coming down. I had just kind of. Remembered it as being him giving inappropriate hugs around the office.
I just remember being like real touchy. But there was no details.
Right. There weren't that many details. So revisiting this, these weren't just friendly hugs. He straight up grabbed and kissed women without their consent to the point where women at Pixar, quote, developed a defensive posture they dubbed the Lasseter to block him from trying to put his hand up their skirts. And there were... examples like it goes beyond sexual harassment to sexual assault, basically.
Right.
Why can't these guys just take a break?
Yeah.
You're rich enough.
Right.
This is one of those things like Louis too that was an open secret for so long. Because like I have many friends that have worked at Pixar for years because I'm from the East Bay. And I've been hearing about this for 15 years.
Jesus.
You know, that like women there had to avoid him.
Yeah.
And it's like I do think John Lasseter is a genius in 1988. At this point, I think there are other people who have taken up his reins and become as good at what he does as he is, so there's no excuse for hiring him.
Right. He can go live on a golf course somewhere and just be have to introduce himself to his neighbors, hopefully.
I don't even understand why they want to work. Take a little vacay.
Well, I think that's part of it is to feel that they are omnipotent. They're gods,
right?
That, like, you can't fucking hold
and
me
back. And for the
back.
Most part, they have been. I mean, there haven't...
Well, the fact that you can operate like that, and you there's a situation, the way the society was structured, that the female employees are just like, oh, we do the Lasseter.
Yeah.
And that's how they're dealing with it, not like... We're the fucking police. Like, now we're starting to move slowly, incrementally move into an era where, like, okay, now we can call this out. Yeah. I hope that becomes the norm. But like that, yeah, it just shows you the way things were where he was operating. It was like, oh, that's, you know, they just hug weirdly.
A little more texture on like what it's like when a company is trying to operate with a dude like this in a position of power. Women he found attractive were barred from meetings because, quote, John has a hard time controlling himself. So that actively, just like institutionally, prevents women from moving forward in their careers because this dude at the top just can't be trusted around them.
Yeah, and has no self-control.
Yeah. Like a literal animal.
Yeah. No. Yeah, basically. not
or
just
a baby.
Basically.
Yeah.
Just, I'm surprised they didn't, like, that you're about to tell me, he's like, and they used to wheel him around in, like, a Hannibal Lecter setup where he's had the mask on and he was bound, like, on a fucking dolly. And they're like, all right, here's your next meeting, John.
Yeah.
And this whole, like, oh, it's so scary for men right now. I'm like, I still have yet to see one person with real and true consequences.
Right.
So it's just really hard to give two shits about. But also, like, oh, if your life got ruined, I'm saying this in quotes, after 30 years of getting away with a specific behavior and getting rich off of it.
Yeah.
It's fine. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
His name has been dragged through the mud, you guys. Skydance's CEO, David Ellison, held a town hall with employees and urged them to give Lassiter a chance, ignoring the fact that a 61-year-old former head of a multi-billion dollar company is arguably given just millions of chances and the benefit of the doubt so many times. He also added, the CEO, David Ellison, that he wouldn't have hired Harvey Weinstein. So, and then that if anyone is harassed, they can simply call Skydance's handy 1-800 number. So,
wait, for real?
Yep. Yeah.
Jesus.
The HR report line or whatever.
But as you're saying, then they're just going to like build all these safeties in around him. So it's like, well, then no women of a certain type can work on your team.
Yes.
Because we know you have this
exactly.
problem.
And, you know, they interviewed, Variety interviewed women who work in the animation industry, and they're just like, well, what the fuck kind of message does this send to us? None. Like, that just takes away a huge company that now we can't apply for jobs at because,
who would want to? They're like, yeah, I want to work with like 9-month in recovery sex crim John Lasseter. Like,
right.
But also, just know there's always going to be a ceiling to like how far I can get ahead if he's in charge.
Yeah.
So hopefully, this causes enough of a uproar that, you know, they rethink their decision.
They won't until like the first three movies they make with him at the helm bomb.
Right.
And then they're going to be like, what the fuck, John?
Right.
But people are still going to watch him. Some people who were upset are going to forget and still going to watch him. And
yeah. So one crazy story that was all over the place at the end of last week is the story of Jamie Kloss. This is a 13-year-old girl who disappeared from her home after her parents were murdered and just basically like walked out of the woods while somebody was walking their dog and asked that person for help. Fortunately, that person was like a support worker who like knew exactly what to do and was capable of like kind of helping her along. And now the police have somebody in custody, a 21-year-old dude who is being held on suspicion of murdering her parents. There aren't a ton of details, I guess. I was wondering if it was like one of those things where like a creepy predator like kind of weaves his way into a girl's life over the internet. And then, but they're saying that like she wasn't really aware of him prior to him murdering her parents. So it might have been like he was a stalker who just stalked her from a distance.
It was a huge story there because, you know, even the bystanders who she encountered instantly recognized her.
Yeah.
So where has she been this whole time?
She was in being like held in this guy's house 70 miles away, like in it was like a very heavily forested neighborhood. And
yikes.
He would just, keep her away from people, essentially. And I don't know. The whole thing, like.
But it's not a Stockholm, like she doesn't love him or anything.
No.
I'm glad she got out.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And like, and this was like, she was gone for like 2 months or something since October.
Yeah.
So
at first, I
they
was
said
like,
88
oh, this
days
is like
or something. They've been working on this case, so
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Usually these things do not end well.
Yeah,
and you know, hopefully she get back to normal.
Yeah, I was getting severe, Terminator 2 vibes when like her parents ended up dead and she was disappeared. I was like, uh-oh, it's happening.
Yeah,
but
why is Wolfie barking?
Right,
your parents are dead.
Yeah.
So sorry to make fun of this, but
we're not making fun of this.
I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm just, no, it's Terminator, baby.
We have to laugh to cope.
This dog's name was Max. I remember. What's your dog's name? Max.
Why is Wolfie barking?
Yo, I used to be such an Eddie Furlong fan.
Oh, for real.
Back
man.
Then.
I love him.
My mom helped him get a career going singing in Japan.
Oh, good.
And I met him like right after T2 came out. I was so fucking amped. And he was like fucking 16. I was like, I don't know, like 9 or something. He was like, we had nothing to say to each other.
It's just two children.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, cool.
Did you know Terminator 2 takes place 2 years in the future?
It was from now, you mean?
No, from the year it came out.
Was that 91 or 92?
They don't even mention it, but for the timeline to like link up, they needed it to take place 2 years in the future. So they just like blow past the fact that it's like, it was released in like 93 and the movie takes place in like 95 or 96 or something.
Terminator 2 came out in 1991.
91. And then, yeah, the year in the movie was like 93 or 94 or 95 or something.
They're like, nothing's going to change too much in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it really didn't.
Yeah. No, they were right.
It's kind of a dead period.
The best, the most accurate depiction of the future in the history of movies. All right. And speaking of movies, guys, Coming to America 2. We mentioned at the end of last week that might be happening, and I thought at the time that it was going to be a reboot, which I was very heavily against, but it's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, and with everybody.
Exciting.
Yeah, with everybody. Eddie Murphy as Akeem, Arsenio Hall be Semi, and like James Earl Jones.
And everyone's going to look roughly the same age.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Yeah.
Hopefully there won't be Eddie won't do any reggae music.
You cannot do this with white movies.
Right. Yeah, right?
We do not age well.
Like, yeah, could you imagine if they really did that Ghostbusters reboot like with everybody now? You'd have been like, are they the motherfucking ghosts?
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be directed by Craig Brewer, who did Hustle and Flow, and I think the Dolemite movie that Eddie Murphy just did. And their script is being rewritten based on the script that the original writers from the 80s wrote for a sequel by Kenya Barris, who created Blackish.
Oh, I love shit. It.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I think it'll be interesting. Apparently it's about Akeem learning about a long lost son and he must return to America.
So was he like secretly fucking around in the first movie when he was back in America and we just didn't know?
Right. I don't know.
That's the question.
Yeah, it's
like
it's,
maybe one of those dates from that montage
he
where
have
he's
a
like
kid with Lisa.
Well, that would make sense.
That's
because
you think,
they're married.
Because, right.
But then, how would he be long lost? Would he have just like run away?
Sherry Headley still.
Maybe she leaves him. I don't
Sherry
know.
Headley is also a time traveler. When I look at her photos, I don't know. Yeah, you'd think she would. There would be more questions with Lisa being like, "What the fuck you mean you got some secret kid back in Queens?"
Right. Those twins, you know, from that dating thing where they like rap together.
Oh, right.
Maybe that.
I prefer the woman who was like, "I was Joan of Arc in a past life." Lighter over it.
Oh, the movie's so good.
I support this, and since we don't spend enough time calling out non-creeps, Arsenio is a wonderful man.
Is he?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's
to hear.
A delight and a good person.
He seems like a very
so
yeah.
support
sweet
him
man.
Making any money that he makes.
Any money. All right.
Are you doing like a Fugees?
Any money.
Mini,
we say mini,
we say
mini,
mini
money.
Mini money. Mini money. Okay.
Mini, mini, mini.
Okay. Let's talk about, there's a tweet from a gentleman, Sam Sykes, at Sam Sykes Swears. He tweeted this article about how millennials are killing golf courses, and he tweeted, "Another kill my millennial kin. Tonight we feast on the carcass of golf." but I like this story because this gives me hope for our future. We talked last year, probably almost a full year ago, about this idea that golf courses are these kind of outdated things where they rope off an entire like beautiful section of a town. Like LA has some of the most green space in America of any American city, but you can't go to it because it's all these like private golf courses that have been fenced off, and also you have to get accepted by a board of old rich white dudes, and then they also get tax breaks, so you're paying for this giant piece of land to be withheld from you
and a resource drain
in the middle of a public park
it would be an amazing, like, basically LA is dotted with all these central parks that that would be amazing landmarks. But they're for, O.J. Simpson and fucking Al Michaels to go golfing on.
So millennials were killing the golf course.
Yeah, so millennials are not golfing. because
no,
they're normal. And
because we're broke,
it's expensive. Yeah.
Also, I don't have the patience too. Like that is a very that's like all about just mastering the repetition of your stroke and things like that. Nah, bro, I'd rather just play blackjack.
I think it's a fine sport, but there's no reason that it can't be more accessible, and it should have always been. You know, I hope fucking skiing goes away too. Fuck it.
When you talk,
I love you. Don't like snow.
I do love snow.
It's just prohibitively expensive.
It's cost prohibitive, yeah. Like, I can't, you know, I think golf is fine, but those are two things that I'm like, I can't afford to be so bad at something.
Right,
you know?
Right. And when you talk to people who really love golf, who aren't like amazing, who aren't like the 1% who are really good at it, they're always just like, ah, oh, but it's good to be out in nature. It's good to be out there on the golf course. And it's like, you know, yeah, we would like that
in
too.
In a fenced off thing where I only look at people who are of my same like social strata or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
I think it's fun. I mean, it is like kind of a meditative sport, and I think it would be good for people of our generation.
Reclaim,
to
just
slow down
reclaim the country
way.
Clubs. Yeah. Let the proletariat take control of the country clubs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we talked before that there are places where, you know, the golf course is private for part of the time. Like there are like a couple days where only the, I think it's St. Andrews over in the UK. But then there's also part of the time where the public can go and just fucking chill there and, like, you know, have access to this beautiful piece of land.
Oh, like to not even play golf? Like just to, like, use it as a green space?
It might be just to play golf. Okay. But,
yeah, because I feel like people will fuck that up.
Let's apply that to everybody.
Yo, could you imagine, though, if they turned half of these things into just a park?
A public park. It would be amazing. And, I mean, what's happening right now is that golf courses – so there was this huge golf course boom between the 70s and 2010, which was the peak of the golf boom when the most people ever were playing golf, where all these golf courses were built across America, and then they built, like, neighborhoods with, like – so their backyards were on golf courses, and all these elderly whites moved in and were like, ah, paradise. But now that those golf courses can't sustain themselves because not enough people are playing it, those golf courses are closing down and all those old people are pissed because their housing, their homes values are like plummeting. So this is basically a story like Taylor designed to make an entire generation make the jack off hand motion because millennials are like, oh, your housing value's going down.
Maybe it'll go down enough that we can afford it.
Right. Well, also, in like the late 90s, golf actually got cool for sort of younger people, too.
Yeah.
So
because
those
of Tiger,
people
yeah.
are just older now. Like, yeah. Do you remember when one of the guys from Blink 182 had a magazine that was just about tattoos and golf?
No.
Whoa,
so the
Tom?
Cover, no, not Tom.
He's
I can't
aliens.
Remember his name. The cover was just like
Mark Hoppus?
Hot chicks with tattoos playing golf. And I'm like, that's such a specific Orange County demographic that
yeah,
like
right.
I can't believe there was a need for that. But yeah, like it was cool for young. So like just to be like dumb young people, it's like, no, you were a part of that group that thought golf was cool in 1999 and now you're in your whatever's.
Right.
40s.
Man,
50s.
I really thought though I was going to be good at golf. I tried it I went to the driving range a couple times.
Right.
I think
was
it's
like,
great.
I'm black and Asian.
This is
I am motherfucking Tiger Woods. I was not that quick on the basketball court. So the black part, I was like, fuck.
I support the
couldn't
mixed
do karate.
Use too.
Yeah, but like, I thought I just have to say I really thought I was going to be good at golf and I fucking sucked. So I just, you know, stuck to video games.
I think if it becomes like a public pool thing where it's like sometimes kids just get to come and freak out. But if you want to go during lap swimming, then you pay for a membership. Like,
right.
I think a golf course could work the same way.
I think that would be great.
Just set up a little blanket on the fairway, you know,
have
a picnic.
Have some cheese,
you know, just put, you know, the one thing though, every time I think about like a golf course is we used to sneak onto a golf course behind my friend's house and we'd kick a soccer ball around. Because the fairway is so, the grass is so flat.
Yeah.
You're like,
it's amazing. Yeah.
This is how you want to get down.
Mm-hmm.
Going around tearing shit up on a golf course while drunk is like the greatest thing. When
all
you're
right. Now you're proving their point.
you guys have seen Jackass. That's what we would do with golf courses and golf carts.
Oh, yeah. We'd fuck the fairway up.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And the putting greens torn up.
For sure. But yeah, I don't know. I would like to see a future. Like right now, they're talking about how like these poor people, it was a Wall Street Journal article. So it's like aimed at the people whose houses are losing value, and they're talking about how, like, we've got browning fairways and vandalized buildings now behind our house instead of, you know, beautiful golf courses. And it's like, yeah, well, like, work with your town to refurbish that into, like, a public park.
Yeah.
And, like, get tax money to, like, build that shit back up.
Or be aware of the tremendous wealth gap that is occurring, which is why you have people who are going to take shit out on a golf course, too. There's I'm sure many of those people, like you said, it's written for those people. Like, don't worry, guys. We're going to figure out a way to get these values back up. We're going to figure something out because, you know, it's just a downward spiral.
Yeah. Did you ever try tennis?
For a second.
Okay.
My dad loved to play tennis.
Tennis is great.
Tennis is fun.
But then I, like, in the 80s, I saw him play racquetball, and I was like, yo, what's that about? And he's like, you're too young.
And then, that's scary.
Yo, he used to whoop my ass. Like, so I used to, like, not in like that, but like, because my mom, she was a disciplinarian. But in racquetball, for the longest time, he never let me fucking win.
Yeah.
Like, always just fucking you. Sunned me. Like, like, just hitting it with man strength. And then around 13, 14, when puberty kicked in, I was starting to get a little bit quicker, a little bit stronger. And I remember when I beat him, I was like, yeah, what's up, motherfucker?
That's what's great, man. Like, your dad doesn't let you win. And then finally beat him.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was, you know, I used to cry, though. Just like serving all crying and shit, like 14-0 service, like whatever. But like,
but I'm saying that's the kids today are seeing Naomi Osaka and they're like, that's your kids will be like, yo, that's my sport. Yeah. That is my inheritance. I'm going to be great at tennis.
But I feel like, well, and you know what? At least tennis, they're like, courts are publicly available in LA. Yeah. Like, no, you can get down with tennis.
And
like,
you can get equipment for cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Racket ain't that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go to the Goodwill. Where I got mine.
Yeah? You play tennis?
Well, we have courts at our house. So sometimes, like...
I'm sorry. Where? At Buckingham Palace?
At our apartment building.
Okay.
That's
such an 80s apartment building feature.
I know.
With a tennis court.
It's rad, though.
No, tennis is such a fun sport, even if you suck at it.
A couple beers out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not good. But we literally got rackets at Goodwill, and balls are super cheap.
And just start doing a little rally.
Yeah. And you can kind of even do it anywhere.
Yeah.
Against a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, play tennis, kids. Yeah. I don't know what the point of that was.
Nah.
Get a couple Bud Lights. Play some tennis.
Oh, Bud Light.
Tear up the golf course.
First beer to put nutrition facts on the box now when you buy
it. Oh, is that true? Oh,
yeah. First American beer to do that.
Are they putting ingredients there too?
Yeah. But the ingredients are just like water and barley and shit like that. Rice. Now, but they have like the calories and like the carb count and all that, so you can know, you know, what you're drinking.
Mm.
110 calories per can.
Well, Amy. On that note, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
Find me on my website at amymillercomedy.com. Got a lot of tour dates coming up. San Francisco, Denver, Seattle, Washington, D.C.
You going to be at Sketchfest? Is that?
Yeah. Oh, I'll be there for the last weekend of Sketchfest.
Us too. Is that next weekend or the weekend?
It's like the 25th or whatever. After. Yeah. I know. You know what weekend the last weekend in January is?
I do.
I don't know why I'm yelling at him.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Got ugly.
I'm sorry.
And follow me on Twitter at Amy Miller. On Instagram, I'm Amy Miller Comedy. It's all pretty easy.
Awesome. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, I mean, I really enjoyed my own at The Rock. Well,
then do it.
I already said it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, I did enjoy this tweet from James Fritz. He's a comedian in L.A. And he said, maybe I've been in L.A. too long, but can't Trump just say he's paying all the government workers in exposure? You can retweet that from my timeline. James Fritz is amazing.
I love that.
I was like, this is too good and too real.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And also, please come to Sketchfest. January 19th. We'll be at the Punchline at 11:30. Get your tickets at sfsketchfest.com.
Oh, you're doing the podcast live there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'll just miss you guys.
So if you're in the Yay area, please come through.
Can I plug my podcast?
Yeah.
It's called Who's Your God? I interview comedians about their religious beliefs.
Oh, when are you going to have me on?
I would love to have you on.
Oh, your eyes just lit up like you just... Okay. Are you really going to have me on or are you just saying
this?
I
haven't thought about it. Well, because I don't like put you in the comedian category, which is a compliment.
No, yeah. More than anything. No. I'm just sort of a disembodied voice.
But I'd love to have either one of you guys on. I'll reach out. Yeah, Who's Your God? Check it out. It's great. Miles is going to be on it soon.
Yeah, right, very soon. Very, very soon. Oh, some tweets that I like. Okay, so there are a few. Reductress as usual. It's three women holding each other and they're smiling. It says, breaking. Claire remembered the weed. just love that one. Jamie Loftus is another one. Says, as a girl boss, every morning I scream yes queen until my mirror shatters and eat the glass and drink from sponsored water bottle.
Love her.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then I'm going to take another one, too, because this one's from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with the dunk on Joe Lieberman. She, like, quote or retweeted an article that had a screenshot that said, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez isn't the future of the Democratic Party, from Joe Lieberman. And she tweeted, new party, who dis? So, yeah, there you go.
The
bitch, what? I'm going to shout out Kyle Dunnigan, at Kyle Dunnigan on Twitter. He put up this video where he's got some special effect that is putting Ray Liotta's face on his.
From that commercial, that's so terrifying.
The Chantix one.
Yeah, it just says, try fucking Chantix on his, that's his tweet. But then the video is fucking amazing. Kyle Dunnigan.
So scary.
He does impressions.
My name's Ray. It's just
Bill Maher and Ray Liotta that I didn't know you could do like amazing impressions of, but they're so fucking good. Yeah, and that Jamie tweet is amazing. I also like Mike Drucker's, the New York Post tweeted, the job most billionaires had before becoming filthy rich. And he tweeted, quote, child of a wealthy person.
Right. Yep. Mike Drucker's so good on Twitter.
He's so good.
And in life.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is from Yeek, Y-E-E-K, and the song is called Solstice. Just, you know, a little nice bopper for you to get, you know, ease into.
Speaking of geeks, we all realized in the studio that we really want to see Donald Trump nude prior to recording today.
Shit, I didn't think we talk about that.
Is that just us, do you think?
I'm curious.
It's a morbid fascination.
Yeah, it's a morbid fascination, but like, want to see that dumper,
what's going
man.
On? What's going on? What's he working
dumper.
With?
What that butt do?
Yeah. I just want to see... I don't know. Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Whole torso.
Yeah, so let us know if anybody else has that same.
I'm sure.
Fascination.
I think there are some couple people who tried to do really good renderings of what they believe he looks like based on how it's close.
Sure.
And those are shocking.
Yeah. All right. We are gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
I've been weak from all the beverages, I've been weak from all the trees. I don't even talk that much, I don't even smoke that much.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
if you dare.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.